You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're going to be talking and hearing about the aftermath of this election for days, likely weeks, because each presidential cycle has far-reaching ramifications to our lives. We just wrapped up a conversation about how this election could impact labor across Sacramento. Now we're going to learn how our local arts community could be impacted. Joining us now is Dennis Mangers, whose extensive career spans public service, advocacy, and the arts. He has served as a state assembly member and once was an advisor to Mayor Daryl Steinberg, but he's also known for his tireless, decades-long support of Sacramento's LGBTQ plus community and has a vested interest in Prop 3, which enshrines the right to same-sex marriage in the California Constitution and repeals Prop 8 back in 2008. Dennis joins us now. Thank you for taking the time. Nice to see you.
It's my pleasure. Good to see you, Vicky.
I would love to just start with a little bit of your background in Sacramento, from the state capitol to calling this place home.
Well, there's one could write a book, and I am.
Great.
But the bottom line is I came to the realization I was gay while a member of the legislature from Orange County. And it was midterm, and I was, of course, terrified at the thought of what does this all mean if I decide to live authentically in what now appears to be my skin. So as I left the legislature in 80, I realized that there was no political infrastructure for the LGBT community at the time, and that if they ever wanted to meet their ambitions with regard to protective ordinances, state law, whatever, we would have to organize and activate. So that's what I began doing. And in the process, of course, I've always been in the arts. I was a singer and in L.A., and I've always been a big supporter of the arts. So I got active with supporting. I was on the board of the ballet and Broadway and Best of Broadway and number of, and that got me hooked. So now I'm essentially continuing in retirement to be an advocate for both the LGBT and arts community.
Mm. Well, the AP has called Prop 3, and mm-hmm. so it has moved forward, which enshrines marriage as a fundamental right in our state constitution, repeals language that defines marriage only between a man and a woman, which was added by Prop 8 over 15 years ago. I mean, I think about that time span, 15 plus years, 16 can feel like a long time. It could also feel short when you go back to 2008 and Prop 8 to now 2024 and Prop 3. What really stands out to you? How do you reflect on this time period?
Well, I was on the board of directors of Equality California at the time we were seeking the right to marriage. It seemed to me, as the language in the proposition says, a fundamental right of all people. And if that's true, what about us? You know, why aren't we included as well? The courts ultimately ascertained you can't draw a difference between LGBT citizens and others. They do have a fundamental right to access. So we worked for that. Ultimately, as you know, we were successful. My own partner and I had a commitment ceremony at the 7th year of our 33-year relationship, and then married when Gavin Newsom made it possible in San Francisco. Then we were the first to get married here. On the first morning, it was illegal. So we've been together 33 years. I feel very much about Michael as I did about my Linda, 25 years of marriage to the mother of my kids, and we were partners in life. We lost her to Alzheimer's recently, but that gives me that added reflection of having lived what I thought ostensibly was a straight married life for 24, 25 years, and now 33 years as a gay person. Well, there just is no difference. And for a long time, people tried to conjure a difference to make them feel better about restricting our rights.
Hmm.
So as I reflect on it, this was a huge step forward. The only downside from my standpoint is, like Roe versus Wade, it now creates a bubble here where California becomes that place where, if we're not careful, some people start thinking, well, you have your place where you fixed it so you're safe, go there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want women to have rights to women's productive health care anywhere they go, as they should under the Constitution. And I want the same privileges for LGBT people. So it's not over. It's never over, actually, because these conservative forces will continue to play their playbook over and over again.
Even though that language was still in the Constitution, it wasn't legally enforceable. I mean, it was even called, I think one term was like a zombie law. So some may think, hey, you same-sex marriage can happen here in California. Why do we need a proposition that enshrines it in the Constitution? What would be your response to that?
Well, I think it's self-evident when you stop and think what those forces on the federal level are doing, and the notion proposed by the incoming president that most of these major issues ought to be an issue of state rights. Well, that means if you want it there and you can get the votes together, good. But otherwise, it's not a right. That's just not thinking good thinking to me. If it's a right, it ought to be a right anywhere. But the politics right now, the numbers don't add up. So that language becomes even more important.
Yeah. I mean, nationally, from the Senate to the presidency, it went red and Republican. But when it comes to Prop 3 and here in California, votes are still being counted. But at this moment, over 60% of Californians voted yes on it. And I think that's a stark difference to Prop 8 back in 2008.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
People have evolved. There's no question about it. A part of that is because of Harvey Milk's admonition to the community many years ago, come out wherever you are. And if you do, that will normalize the fact that you have always been here. You just have had to be closeted out of fear. Well, that's not the case anymore. So almost every family has someone they can point to that would have been that old Spencer Aunt Molly or somebody. Now a treasured member of the family who's come out, it's become normalized, and they can't imagine denying marriage to that treasured member of the family.
How do you think a change in administration will impact our local LGBTQ plus community? I mean, you already have an experience with the first Trump administration. Now we're going to have a second one come January. What's at top of mind for you?
Well, of course, you know, I'm a former Democratic Assemblyman, so as you'd expect, I am a Democrat, and I had aspirations on behalf of the Harris-Waltz ticket. Now it's very clear through the democratic process, we have to accept a new reality. I did not notice, because of what we have done here, a great deal of negative impact of the first Trump administration, nor do I expect anything particularly revolutionary this time. But again, it's that, is it really safe to just create a bubble around where you live? You know, and lose concern about others. It's bad enough, in my judgment, that some of our own people here in the bubble have become complacent about their rights. And of course, I'm a political guy, an arts guy, but when I see more people signed up to play gay kickball than I do signed up for the Stonewall Democratic Club, it worries me that there's a distortion of values here. If you're not spending some of your time trying to protect the reality of who you are in the political milieu, then in my judgment, you don't have any right to just go play. Mm. I don't mean to be judgmental about that, because we're not all politicians. But we really do all have a big personal stake in this.
Yeah, and it's beyond California. And California wasn't the only state. There were one of three states that actually approved measures to protect same-sex marriage in their own state constitutions. So I think there's a larger message. It's not just California about perhaps concerns of rollbacks or changes at the federal level that can change what happens in our own state.
So many things in film, television, media these days have come along, highly popular entertainment, things that put our lives in a perspective, and one that's become more broadly accepted. And I'm very hopeful that that attitude in California prevails on a number of fronts, including for women, people from marginalized communities, traditionally marginalized communities, et cetera. So we'll have to see how that turns out. In the meanwhile, I'm going to continue to work on those LGBT political issues, and turn a great deal of my time now to the arts, which under any administration are always in kind of a perilous condition.
Yeah, and we're going to get to the arts in just a moment.
Yeah, okay.
My last question on this topic, I mean, I think of the Trevor Project, which is a nonprofit that focuses on suicide prevention for LGBTQ plus youth. I think for a lot of us leading up to the election, there's a lot of anxiety and stress, you know, regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum. But the Trevor Project reported a 200% increase in conversations in its crisis services right before the election. Other organizations who directly support the community have also seen similar increases. What words or advice do you have for people who are worried and have fear about their rights? And also, how can they seek support?
The first thing I tell most of them is if you have something that you're afraid of, if you think that there are forces outside over which you have no control and that you're a victim, then you're a victim. So the first thing you have to start thinking about is what can I and others collectively do about my situation? That means the antidote usually is finding yourself taking a personal initiative to do something about it. So getting personally involved, joining organizations that would be supportive, joining organizations that have an advocacy role in which you could soon play a role. When you feel yourself being a part of that movement, you are a lot less apt to consider suicide or the hopelessness and despair and depression that can come that send that percentage of the Trevor Project zooming. Imagine, Vicki, every day of your life taking calls from young people across the country who are living in fearful situations of being thrown out of their families or churches or schools. And we have to put our arms around these people, young and old alike, and tell them you are not alone. So if you have somebody in your family, if you have somebody at school, wherever your situation that you can tell is struggling in some way, be a part. I hate this, be a part of the solution. But the truth is, you can be a part of the solution, both emotionally supportive and get them involved in something on their own behalf. And you'll see a transformation in their behavior and attitude.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dennis Mangers, a former state assembly member and longtime advocate for the Sacramento arts community, as well as its LGBTQ plus community. Let's get to the arts. What are your concerns about funding for the arts statewide here in Sacramento? We have some big challenges from a budget deficit, not only statewide, but also in the city as well, even projected to have another deficit in the upcoming fiscal year. You mentioned this, arts can often fall down that priority totem pole when money's tight.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your concerns moving forward for 2025 and beyond?
Well, it's a great question. I guess my biggest concern would be the psychology involved here. When you stop and think about it, one of the things that propelled me to run for the California State Legislature was when I found, as a school principal out in Orange County, how many people considered the arts peripheral. Now, what I discovered is that arts education brings kids to school, improves grades, improves performance in math and other things, decreases disciplinary issues, and really improves mental hygiene. So I came here devoted to the idea of elevating the arts into a higher state of consciousness that can be followed by budget support. But what I discovered is that when times get tough, senators and assembly members too frequently think more about district projects or other priorities and will often glibly say things like, if people out there want, opera, ballet, theater, Broadway, whatever, let them pay for it. So each niche out there that thinks they want something, they shouldn't ask the government to help. Well, I'm absolutely convinced that arts and arts education are so intrinsic to the quality of life in our society. We need to be making an investment there that will pay off, in my judgment, in many ways. Not the least of which, by the way, is if you think you ought to pour more money into just business ventures, et cetera, I can tell you that there is a payoff from an investment in the arts. And Mayor Steinberg, for instance, commissioned a study that found the creative economy in Sacramento is one of the biggest contributors to our overall economy. This aftershock and this series of festivals.
Get people out and about.
Yeah, that Mike Test and his colleagues are doing. The symphony's never been stronger. The ballet is sold out every single performance now. So we really are in a position where we don't want to interrupt that cycle, but Mayor Steinberg isn't always going to be here.
Yeah.
And he had a very distinct view of the role the arts play and told me right from the beginning, I want to be an arts mayor. And the reason I came and provided 4 years of pro bono service to him in that regard was because if you bring your passion and expertise to a guy who can make a difference or a person who can make a difference, that's the partnership that it takes to move the ball forward.
Mm. Well, Mayor Steinberg has about a month left as mayor, and you two have a history, and you mentioned offering pro bono services and offering advice when it came to the creative economy mm-hmm. here. Did you two cross paths at the state legislature? Is that where your story begins when the two of you met each other?
No, our paths first crossed when he was elected to the city council. many years ago, and I was working with the River City Democratic Club and others on local ordinances that would protect us from being fired or denied apartments, whatever. And he turned out to be one of the most stunning advocates you can imagine, like already a finished product. So we became friends right from the beginning. He's a Jew. I'm gay. We have a lot of things in common, so we worked together to put the Unity Center together at the California Museum, and we worked together to handle crises that occurred when there were misunderstandings between the new Slavic immigrants and the LGBT community. You may remember those incidents. So he's been pretty stalwart in these areas, and Kevin Johnson asked me to be of helpful when he was first elected, but the truth of the matter is he had that arena in his sights. And I could tell that arts would be a secondary interest. But Daryl Steinberg made it clear, in my top three, arts are there. And he proved it when the federal relief money came after COVID. And he dedicated more than any mayor in America to the arts in this city. And as a result, we didn't lose anybody.
Looking ahead to the next mayor, with both of the candidates, Assemblymember Kevin McCarthy, epidemiologist Dr. Flojan Kofer, do you think either of them, or maybe even both of them, have the arts in their top three as a priority if they are elected?
I think the most honest answer is I'm not sure yet. It was very obvious in the campaign that both Dr. Kofer, whom I admire, and Kevin McCarthy, whom I've known and admired for many years, both of them were drawn to the other issues that are paramount among our people today, like homelessness and mental health, quite deservedly. And so very little conversation arose about arts. But both have assured me that they would also like to be supportive mayors in the arts. They understand the role they play here. But the biggest concern I have is not just about who wins that race. It's the fact that we're in a city where the city manager runs the city. So you may have a mayor like Daryl Steinberg with an amazing attitude and support.
But they're just one vote.
But it's one vote, and he doesn't have control of all the levers of power. So while I admire this city manager, this is a technocrat that knows how to run a city on time, but are the arts a high priority for him? Doesn't feel like it. So I would like the combination of a technocrat like the city manager who can make things happen and a mayor who insists that they do and can put five votes together when it becomes necessary to take action.
Dennis, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
Dennis Mangers is a former state assembly member, an advisor to Mayor Steinberg, and a longtime advocate for Sacramento's arts and LGBTQ+ communities. Still ahead, election week can be a stressful time, so I think we could all use a good laugh. Comedian and social commentator W. Kamau Bell joins us ahead of a performance at the Mondavi Center at UC Davis tomorrow. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.